You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
You may take your seats. Welcome to church. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity. I am thrilled that you're here today. Absolutely stoked that you came to church, want to worship with us here. We hope to see you next week as well. And in fact, we've got a gift for you, a welcome box. It's a sweet box. It's not just some garb that you get for free somewhere. You know, I was at the fair with my kids last week. There you pay for things. And I warned my kids when they bought them, it's the cheapest trash on earth. Whatever you've got, all right? Like, you can have it. I'm cool with you having it. I'm even cool with you spending 20 of your dollars, not my dollars, on that garbage. But know this, it will break, all right? It'll break today or tomorrow and maybe the next day, but probably today. Well, our welcome boxes aren't cheap like that, all right? Come on. Yeah, that whole story to get there. Our stuff is good, all right? And so go out there and grab that couple of t-shirts, a journal, some information about our church. Just go out the double black doors after the service and grab your welcome box. So welcome to church. Someone say welcome to church. Y'all have fun getting your midgets back to school this week? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I don't know if your kids woke up demon-possessed on Monday or not, but ours did. Just a joke. Relax. Not really. They were. We had an exit. No, none of that happened. Did anyone else's kids wake up nuts this week? Like, on Monday, it's like they knew that we could smell the end of the trauma, right? And they're like, they could smell our fear, and they just went after us, right? And, well, anyway, our kids, they were crazy all week long. And then they all went back. Well, three of them went back to school for one day. What the heck even is that? Like, for real. Like, got us all wound up and excited so we can have them back on Saturday, right? Like, thank you for that one day of relief, right? And anyway, so they went back to school for one day. But on Mondays, where the trauma is really going to hit in our house, because it's Zoe's first day at school, and I've got four boys and one girl, and she's got me wrapped around that finger so tight, you know. She just says, jump, and I'm like, how high, sweetheart? What do you want me to get for you? And but so she goes to school on Monday, and Lauren, she's going to be like, arrivederci, you know, goodbye, child. I get a day off now. And but me, I'm going to be like crying and stuff, but whatever. So that'll be fun. Did you hear we're changing our service times? Yeah. Awesome. And we'll put that up on the screen, actually. So from September 7th and 8th onwards, our Saturday night 7 p.m. service will now be at 6 p.m. on Saturday nights. Our 9 a.m. service will now be at 9:30 a.m. Everybody's like, yeah, sleep in. Come on. And then our 10:45 service is going to be at 11 a.m. And those are the Central Campus times. And West Campus is going from 10:45 to 9:30 a.m. The reason for that is our church has been growing significantly, even in the summer. And we're trying to prepare for what God wants to do in the fall. And so we just need to spread out our people a little bit better than they currently are. Yeah, give the Lord a shout of praise if you're excited about what God's doing here at Eternity Church. And so we're excited about that. But that's an effort to spread things out a little bit more even across our services. And that'll be brilliant. West Campus at 9:30 as well is going to be fantastic. But God is up to stuff at here at Eternity Church. You know that, right? God is up to something. It's not normal to see 20 to 40 souls saved at church every week. It's not normal. And we want to be grateful and we want to be thankful to what God has trusted us with. But we also want to be a wise steward, right? And that means that we're not going to sit back and go, well, I'm used to 7 p.m. or, well, I'm used to 9 a.m. or I'm used to 11 or 10:45. No, wise steward says God will change whatever we've got to change to steward what you've trusted us with and what you will bring us. Amen. And we're willing to change. And after that, that. We're positioning ourselves so we can add another service. We don't know whether that'll be at 8 a.m. or 5 p.m. or something on Sundays, or another one at maybe 7:30 on Saturdays. We're not sure what time that extra service will be when the need comes, but we're going to ask you to just be gracious to us as we try a time and go, didn't work next time, right? And so we're going to ask for you to be gracious with us as we just see what's the best time to allow more people to attend Eternity Church and experience what y'all are experiencing every week. Awesome. So thank you. And keep sitting in the middle of the rows. Good job. Appreciate that. Well done. High five your neighbor. Say good job. I'm like super proud of that. I really am. I'm seeing end seats open. I'm like, people are getting ready for new people. Come on, right? So, hey, I got to be real with you though. This week, leading up to preaching was one of the roughest sermon prep times I've had in a long time. I'm never so stressed out. Like, if I don't know what the sermon's going to be on, I'm usually okay with that. I'm like, all right, God will speak, something will happen. But when I know what God wants me to speak on, but then nothing comes out of my fingers when I'm typing, right? That bothers me, right? I get frustrated. And so this weekend, I finished writing my sermon about half an hour before the first service. And it was just like, trust you, Jesus, do something with a sermon, all right? And so you cool with that? Awesome. I went back and forth repeatedly whether or not I should stay in the text that I felt God give me, or if I should switch it around. When God gave me the word, I felt like, God, it's too basic. There's not enough wow, and it's not funny at all, and I've got zero awesome to preach in that, but in the end, I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to stay where you told me to go. Sound good? And so believe me, I'm just believing that this message is going to help some people out, coming out of a bad summer season, or a busy summer season, or a good summer season, but just to be encouraged to know that God will never leave you, and that God is never gonna bail on you, all right? And so we're heading to the story of Moses' birth in Exodus chapter 2, and Pharaoh had made a decree that every young male infant and every young male born should be killed on sight, and he did this in fear that the Israelites were going to grow too big and eventually they'd be able to overthrow their constraints and leave Egypt as free people. And so we're going to go there to Exodus chapter 2. Have you got it? Awesome. One person has a Bible here. It's on the screen, right? No, it's not on the screen. Oh, well, it will be. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, not like her other children who weren't. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't say that. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got some papyrus basket for him, coated it in tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds in the bank and the water of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were there walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds. She sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw a baby. Everyone say, aw. And he was crying. Now it's not so aw, is it? He was crying. And she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to come and nurse the baby for you? And there is a whole nother sermon right there, but we're not there today. Yes, she said, go. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, that's cool, hey, right? The girl went and got the baby's mum. The mum got to nurse her own baby. She went and got his own mama. Come on, right? Take this baby. Now she's leaving with the baby. Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. Now she's being paid to raise her own baby. Come on. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. This is a phenomenal story. Pharaoh is given an order for the death of every infant boy and every male child to be born to the Israelites. But a lady named Jochebed refused to let Pharaoh's men take her child and kill him. And for 3 months, she hid him in her house. After a while, Moses got too loud, too fidgety, and she needs to release him, and she needs to find a better plan. God leads Jochebed to make a basket and lay him in the river. But then there comes a moment after she lays him in the river. There's a moment between the word of God and the fruition of the promise, right? Hey, God leads her to the river. God leads her to put her baby in the river. But then there's a gap between that and anything else happening. But she's left her baby in a river. Her baby's in the water in a bucket. It's been coated in tar and pitch, but it's not going to last forever. She's left him in the river. There's a gap. There's a moment between the word of God and the fruition of the promise. Like when you feel your marriage is on the rocks and God tells you to fight, God tells you to love, God tells you to forgive, but your spouse walks out. There's a gap between what he told you to do and what he told you he would do. Do you stay with the promise? Or when God tells you to hire a new employee and you do it, and you hire the one that God put on your heart, but they break something, they make a mistake, and they cost you money. Has God changed his mind when there's a gap between what he told you to do and what he told you he would do? What do you do in that moment? Or when God tells you to plant a church in the USA, but you know you can't get a visa to plant a church. So what do you do? Do you give up? Has God changed his mind? Because all of a sudden God's like, oh man, I knew I told you to do that, but I didn't see that coming. I told you to do that, but I didn't know about the USA visa requirements. Like God didn't know. So now we're either going to bail on what God said or we're going to stay true in the gap. Amen. See, God had a plan for this young man, Moses. But Jochebed has still got to put him in the water. It's not just to prove that she trusts God. Like, that's one thing. God, I trust you, right? I think even hiding him in the house was an element of trust, right? But it's not that you've got to put him in the water to trust God, although you do have to trust God to put him in the water. But she's got to put him in the water in that little boat because the water is actually what God's going to use to save the little boy's life. See, the gap is the vehicle to victory. The gap, that moment in between, that thing that you think might ruin everything, is the vehicle to victory. For Jochebed, the gap was the water. What if he drowns in the water, but God led me to put him in that water? What if there's a crocodile in that water? Doesn't matter. God led me to put him in that water. What if? What if? What if? Did God tell you to put him in the water? If God told you to put him in the water, God's going to do what God promised God would do. Can I get an amen? The gap is where you need to have faith in what God said and his ability to do it. No matter how the devil comes at you, God's put a boat in the gap for every one of you. No matter how terrifying the devil's schemes are, God is stronger. And even though at this moment you might feel like you're bobbing up and down in the Nile River, God knew the beginning from the end. God knew if there were crocodiles in there. God knew if there were going to be soldiers walking past, or it would be Pharaoh's daughter that walked past. God knew. And God wouldn't allow this if he couldn't use this to bless you. Amen. Come on, you got to understand that. God wouldn't allow this if he couldn't use this to bless you. And so often we find ourselves desperate for God's help, but when God brings the help, we find ourselves disappointed in what the help looks like. Right? Come on. There was a man who fell overboard in the ocean and asked God to save him. He fell in the water in the middle of the ocean. God, save me! God, save me! And 30 seconds later, a woman in a rowboat went past and said, jump in, we got you. And he said, no, it's okay, I'm praying for God to save me. And then a motorboat went past suddenly sees him, stops and says, "Hey, dude, get in the boat. We will save you." And the man refuses, saying, "No, I've been praying. God's going to save me." So the motorboat leaves. And then a helicopter arrives. The Coast Guard's here now. They said, "Dude, we threw down a ladder. Climb up. We're here to save you." And the man says, "No, it's all right. I've been praying. God's going to save me." And then he gets tired, sinks, and drowns. And he gets to heaven. He says, "God, what happened? I had faith in you. Why didn't you save me?" And God says, "I sent you a rowboat, I sent you a motorboat, and I sent you a helicopter, but you wouldn't get in." How often do you do that to God? How often do I do that to God? God, we trust you, but we don't trust what you sent us. We don't trust the person you're using us. We don't trust the boat that you sent us. It wasn't made in my favorite factory. I don't trust helicopters, God. I don't like to fly. We trust you, but in the gap we start to sink. We find ourselves sinking because we won't accept the help that God has sent us. I wonder if that crossed Jochebed's mind, hey? I wonder if she put him in the water and then had that gap between, "God, you sent me to the water. You led me to the water. My son is in the water, but now I don't see any hope." Or when Pharaoh's daughter walks past, "Anybody but one of those Egyptians," and goes and takes the child back. Have you ever asked God for help only to refuse it because it didn't exactly come the way you wanted it to come? You ever done that? I've done that. Come on. Let's be real. Yeah. Have you done that? Just because it's hard in the water doesn't mean God isn't in the water with you. Come on. He's still God in the water. He's still God in the gap. Amen. Now, paddling the boat is going to be hard work. It's going to be hard work. But it's going to be hard work that builds you, not hard work that steals from you. See, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come that you may have life and life abundantly, amen. So this isn't going to destroy you. It's going to be hard work that'll bless you, that'll teach you, that'll love on you, amen. But it's hard to love, isn't it, when you've been hurt? But it will build you. And it's hard to trust when you've been betrayed. But it will build you. And it's hard to paddle when you've been sinking for hours. But it's from the Lord. You got to get in and paddle. You will be all right, amen? But help's not always sexy, is it? Right? That was my son that freaked out when I said that word. I got cleaner language at home than you thought. It's not, is it? Help's not always sexy. Help's not always beautiful, right? God, I want to see. So Jesus makes mud out of spit, puts it in the man's eyes. And he's healed. Oh, that's not beautiful. I want to win a battle against Jericho. March around the city 7 times. Winning. I want to see my son set free from demons. So God sends the demons into the bacon and I lose all my bacon. That's a story in the Bible, by the way. You're like, what is he talking about? There's a family. Their son is possessed. They're like, we want freedom for him. So Jesus is like, all right, freedom, boom. And then all the demons, not one, all the demons fly out of him into the pigs and the bacon's gone off a cliff. It wasn't beautiful. God, deliver us from Egypt. God says, run toward the ocean. Run toward the big bodies of water. It parts, delivered. God, save my son. Throw him in the river. Saved. I remember when my finances were so bad that I was stressed about it every day. Man, financial stress will ruin your happiness if you let it, won't it? Right? Come on. Man, I was stressed every day. My credit was so bad, people wouldn't even take my cash anymore. It was that bad. It's like it was on my forehead. His cash is fake. Don't even take it, right? I racked up bills with every phone provider that I could until they all hated me. Telstra, Optus, Vodafone, and whatever the other cheap one was, right? All of them, right? You've never heard of any of those because they're in Australia. It was stressful. It was awful. It was my own fault. If finally got so fed up with all these bills coming left, right, and center that I went to God in prayer, and I literally remember saying, God, help me with this mess that I made myself. And you wouldn't believe what God wanted me to do. I wanted him to send me $20,000. Come on, who's been there? Finances all messed up. God help me, have some rich person write me a check, you know, right? Like anyone else, yeah? Then you're mad at the rich people, you know? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't my problems your responsibility? You know, anyone else been there? Yeah? And you're mad at them for not taking responsibility for my problems? Yeah, I've been there. I wanted God to send me $20,000 to pay off all my bad debt and leave a couple of bucks left to get a decent car that didn't break down. It wasn't made by Mitsubishi. I wanted someone to hear God tell them to bless me. So when I felt God speak to me about talking to a guy named Brett in our church about my drama, I was excited because Brett was a rich dude. Makes sense that God would want Brett to take care of my problems, right? So I went to Brett, and to my surprise, he did not give me $20,000. Like, dude, are you even a Christian? No, he didn't give me $20,000. Because if he did, it would have ruined my life. Absolutely ruined me. No, Brett called me to his office the next week and said, I can help you if you promise to do exactly what I say. I had to make sure I was tithing every week, number one on his list. I had to check in with him every single week and let him know every single thing I spent and every receipt I had. I had to give him permission to negotiate with debtors and give him access to my bank accounts and keep me accountable to my spending. I wasn't allowed to get any more credit, and I agreed. And after agreeing, I had to paddle. And then after paddling, I had to paddle and keep paddling. And keep paddling, and keep paddling, and then it's a year, keep paddling, and then it's another year, keep paddling, keep paddling, keep paddling, and finally, at the other end, I found freedom. I found discipline in my finances. I found wisdom in my mind. I found a tremendous blessing, as all of a sudden, with pay rises and with the debt that I had paid off, I had four times the disposable income I did at the start. That's a blessing, amen. That's a blessing. But what if I said, God, that's not sexy, that's not beautiful, that's not the picture that I had in my head. I wanted someone else to take care of this for me. But guess what? What the devil wanted to use to destroy me is something that God used to set me up, amen. I got wisdom, I got strength, I got faith, I got strong, and Lauren and myself and my kids, we're living in the blessings of principles that I learned in the water in those 2 years, amen? I'm so glad God sent help. I'm so glad that I was willing to jump in the water, do what he said, and paddle, and paddle, and paddle. And too many times we look at a little bit of hard work and say, God's not in it. God's not in it. There's people in our church. I know a man who was adopted from Brazil. I don't know why his mom gave him up. I don't know why. But a family in New York adopted him. He went to med school, and at med school, he met the best woman he'd ever met in his life. Her name is Angie. She leads him to the Lord. He's a board member. She's on staff. Come on. His name is Joe Falco. He's a doctor here in Des Moines. God, why did you make my... I don't know what happened there. I don't know why she did that. But God looked after him. Oh, he still had to paddle. He still had to go to college. He still had to study. He still had to manage his finances. He still had to say yes to God. He still had to do the work. Come on. But God set him up. There's another man in our church. I don't know why, but a woman in Guatemala said, I'm going to have to give this child up. So she did. That man is one of the youth leaders at our church. That man is one of the greatest servants I've ever met. If he finds out you need a wall built or torn down in your basement, he'll do both at the same time. Pop a hole in a pipe, but fix it. Come on. His name's John Lutz. I don't know why his mama gave him up, but God was in it. God was in it. God led her to it. And now he got adopted by a wonderful Midwestern Christian people who raised him up in the house of God. His kids are in church, come on. His kids are at school, his kids are in youth group, and they're wonderful people. God will use anything. Now, the devil was the one that wanted to kill the small children, but God found a way to save him. I don't know what was going to happen in Brazil. I don't know what was going to happen in Guatemala if those boys stayed there. But God saved them from something and saved them into something too. Amen. When I was born with a heart condition. That heart condition meant I couldn't drink alcohol, I couldn't smoke, I couldn't do certain things. So I didn't do those things. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong if you're having cigarettes or cigars or drinking alcohol. I got no problem with that. There is something wrong with that, those things becoming addictions and life-controlling substances in your life, right? And my family, everybody ended up addicted to drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or whatever else, being controlled by these things. Not just enjoying these things, but being controlled by these things. God didn't give me a hole in the heart. But I tell you, he used it. See, I'm not sober and I'm not clean from all that stuff because I had some amazing self-discipline. I thought I'd die if I touched that stuff, so I didn't. God can use anything, amen? Anything. Don't be afraid to jump in the water. God will still send help. When Pharaoh planned to kill the Israelite babies, he set in motion the very events that would lead to the Israelites' freedom. Funny how fear can make you screw it up yourself. Yeah? He got so afraid of the Israelites that he screwed it up himself. Went, I'm going to kill these babies. Set in motion the very events that would lead to the freedom of the Israelites. Because he wanted to kill the children, Jochebed put her child in the river. And that action is what brought Moses into Pharaoh's own house. Where unbeknownst to Pharaoh, he's training the leader of the revolution. Come on. He's feeding the leader. He's nourishing the leader of the revolution. And in the same way, that trial that you're walking through today, this family breakdown, this health concern, that bad report, this court case, this depression, that anxiety, what the devil's meant to harm you is going to hurt him and launch you into your blessing, amen? He wanted to harm me with a heart disease. God used it to hurt him and launch me into where God wanted me to be, amen? I'm the only one he gave a heart condition, and I'm the only one he set up to be in the ministry. Hallelujah. What am I saying? God didn't just wake up one day and say, Jochebed, throw your baby in the river. No, the devil went after her and her baby. God made a way out. Jochebed had to take a step of faith, put that boy in the river. But after you take that first step of faith, the test comes, doesn't it? Do I really believe that God is in the water? Do I really believe that God is in this? Do I run and get the promise back out of the water? Do I go and get Moses out of the water? Or do I keep paddling? Or do I keep believing? Do I keep trusting that he is God in the water? Not just God before the water, not just God after the water, amen, but that he's God in the water. I knew he was God when he spoke. I knew he was God when I got in the water. But do I still believe he's God when the water's getting deep? Because now my emotions are messing with my faith. Because now my fears are coming to the surface. Because now my heart is vulnerable because of what I'm trusting God in. Do I still trust him? See, if Jochebed ran back to the water to get the baby, she'd have lost him forever. Soldiers would have found the boy and they'd have killed him. She had to say yes. She had to take a step of faith. And she had to stay in the faith. Because he's still God in the water. Amen. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is here. He is in it. In fact, if you've lost faith, if you've stopped fighting and got out of the water, get back in the water today. Just get back in. See, for some of you, getting back in the water and fighting again looks like going back to work even though you hate it. God, give me a job. Okay. God, I hate this job. not going back tomorrow. Get back in the water. Come on. Is he just the God who can give you a job? Or is he a God that can use the job? Come on. Looks like finishing the love dare, even though it's not reciprocated. My spouse isn't reciprocating the love dare that I'm doing right now. Maybe getting back in the water looks like tithing again. Maybe it looks like believing again for some promise that you've let go of. Praying for a miracle. Maybe it looks like going back to work after months or even years of giving up on work. Keep believing God's best over your life. Pray in that scripture over your situation. I believe it. I'm praying it. All things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. God, I love you. So all of this stuff is going to work out. God will never leave me nor forsake me. God, you'll never leave me. I know you'll never forsake me. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the devil that come at me. But Jesus has already come to give me life, hope, healing. God, you are in this. I know you're in this. Would you deliver me through it? Amen. Devil, you will not win today. I will see with these eyes. My child will be free. Those walls will come down. God will deliver us. My children will be saved. Amen. If God wants to use a boat, I'll get in the boat. If God wants to use bacon, I'll have the bacon. If God wants to use mud made from spit, then I'll receive it. If he wants me to march around these walls, then I'll obey him. If he wants me to run, then I'll run. If he wants me to stretch out my withered hand, I'll stretch out my withered hand. And if he wants me to trust him with my kids in the Nile River, I'll trust him with my kids, amen. Because no matter what, God's plan is to bless you. God saved the earth and people through the water. Scripture talks about the flood, says God saved them through the water. God saved Moses through the water. God saved the Israelites through the water. And if you don't know what the water is in your situation, let me tell you this. God's not going to leave you in a battle without telling you how to win the battle. He's not going to do that. He leads Moses to the water and used it to save him. He led his mama to the water and used it to save them. And today he's leading you to the water. Would you all stand up with me? I'm glad I preached this. How do you figure out what the water is, though? Because you know the water is that step of faith, right? For Jochebed, it was putting Moses in the water. It was the Nile River. For Moses and the Israelites, it was approaching vast expanse of water, trusting that God will get them through it. For Noah and his family, it's building a boat when everyone thinks he's a moron and staying true between the promise and the water. And you need to hear from God what he's going to use, what can be your quote-unquote water. He'll speak to you through the Word of God. He'll speak to you through the Holy Spirit. He'll speak to you through the Holy Spirit in your friends, in your godly friends. He'll speak to you through the Holy Spirit in the leadership that he's put in your life. And he'll speak to you at the altar. I want to encourage you, if you need to hear from God, if you need to get a message from God, God, what's the way out? Where's the water in this situation? Then you need to come to the front for prayer. Or you need to hit the Word. You need to spend some time in worship. You need to talk to godly friends. Ask your Connect Group leader, your youth pastor, your department pastor, your campus pastor, your lead pastor. Ask somebody to pray for you and ask them to ask God for a word for you. But they might not give you the fish that you want. It might just teach you to fish. It might not give you the 20 grand, but they might tell you how to get there. Can you trust God to speak through other people? Can you trust God to speak to you through the Word? Can you trust God to speak to you in praise and in prayer and in worship? Can you trust God to speak to you at the altar? Some of you need prayer today. And so after the service, I want you to come straight down to the front. Don't be that person that stands back with a drama and a battle going on in their life and just watching it. Watching other people go get prayer, doing nothing about it. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Sean Smith talked about Eliab saying to David, David, what, you come to watch the battle? And Eliab had redefined what it means to battle, because Eliab and the Israelites were not battling. They were standing there and running away. Don't do that. Stop pretending to battle and go to battle. Stop just floating and start paddling. Amen. You need to come to the front and get prayer. If you don't know the way out, come and get prayer. God has a way out. He wants to speak to you. He's not done speaking. He's not dead. He's alive. The Holy Spirit is here and He's in you. Amen. And He's in us. And He wants to deliver you. He wants to tell you what you need to do to have a victory in that area or that battle in your life. Amen. So come down the front for prayer immediately after the service. You can even come now, but definitely come the second I walk off this stage and say, I need God to speak, because I don't know what the water is, but I want to jump in it the second He tells me what it is. With that kind of faith, He's going to speak. He's going to speak. But if you're here today and you don't know God, or you've walked away from Him, I want to tell you, you need to pray a prayer with me and give Him your life today. Today, come on. Not tomorrow, not next week, not yesterday, today, right now, today. See that scripture that I talked about earlier, all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. Karma, that whole, everything will be all right in the end. It's not true for everyone. It'll be all right in the end for believers. God will force the situations and the past and the things of your life to line up with His plan for your life, and He will make them bless you. There's a lady in our church, she had a car accident, ruined her back. She couldn't work anymore. And she's given her life to Jesus, and so guess what that thing did? It's found a way to bless her. So she got to be a stay-home mom and get paid for it for the rest of her life. Because God will take all the trash of the past and force it to bless your life. Because what was her goal? Her ultimate goal wasn't to be a working mom for this particular person. She wanted to be a stay-home mom. That's fine. Some moms want to work. Some moms want to stay home. Whatever you want to do, but her biggest dream would have been to stay home. Well, God found a way to make that thing bless her now. Give your life to Jesus. Let Him take away your sin, your shame, your pain, your hurt, and then let Him force your whole life to bless your future. That's the Word of God. That's been all of our experience. That's what we want you to experience. I want everybody to pray a prayer with me right now. And in this prayer, we're just asking God to come into our lives. So everybody, repeat after me, every single person in the room. Everyone will pray it out loud and bold so you won't be alone. But I especially want those who don't know God and those who've walked away from Him to repeat after me today. Right now, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, paid the price for my sins, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. And I receive it all, and I receive Your forgiveness. I receive this brand new life with you as my Lord and my Savior and my provider. Help me to live it the way you designed it, special just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to text the word saved to the number 25827. It's up on the screen behind me. Text the word saved to the number 25827. We're doing that because we're obsessed with generosity here at Eternity Church. And if you do that, this week in the mail, you're going to receive a Bible, a worship CD like the music that we sing here, and you're going to receive a gift card to a local coffee shop. Not a buy one, get one free garbage, legit cold hard cash value gift card to go bless yourself with a coffee at a local coffee shop in the metro area somewhere. So text that word to that number so we can bless you. But I also want to pray for you. So if everyone in here could close their eyes and bow their heads, every single person, I want everybody to close their eyes so I can pray for you. No one's looking around. In a moment, I'm going to count to three and then I want you to slip up your hand. And when you do that, I just want to be able to see it so I know who I'm going to pray for. It's no one but me and Pastor Sean to the right looking around. It's nobody else. Nobody else at all. On the count of three, if you want me to pray for you, that God would take your pain, hurt, and shame and replace it with life, hope, and joy, and cause the past to bless your future. If you want me to do that, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand. One, two, three, go. All over this place, if you prayed that prayer, lift up your hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand and that hand and that hand. Anybody else? Or five, anybody else? Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Heavenly Father, I pray for the five people here and the other people everywhere that have lifted up their hand in response to this call, saying, God, I want you in my life. God, I pray you seal salvation, hope, joy, everlasting joy on their life right now in Jesus' name. God, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke fear, hurt, shame. Break it off, God. Shame from things they've done. Shame from things other people have done to them, God. God, we break off that shame in Jesus' name. And we thank you for peace. Perhaps for the first time in years, just flooding their hearts and their souls. And God, I pray that you would begin to speak to them in their hearts. They would begin to hear your voice, leading them, guiding them into the blessed and wonderful life that you designed for them in the beginning. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a great shout of praise? Hallelujah. Man, I'm so glad you came to church today. I'm going to walk off this stage, come down the front. We've got a team of people fired up and ready to pray for you. Don't leave this place without a miracle in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise and let's continue to worship.